I thank you for your word that feeds my soul, that transforms my mind, that gives light to my path. I thank you today that I will be receptive to what your Holy Spirit wants to teach me, and that I will receive all that you have for me today, all the instruction, all the exhortation, all the correction, everything you have, God, I thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. So we're going to talk about the resurrection. Actually, Easter or the Resurrection Sunday is my favorite Sunday of all times because of the topic that we're talking about. And we're going to talk a little bit about this today because we need to know some revelation of what the resurrection has done in our lives. And I don't think we can ever get enough about what Jesus has done for us. Like we talked on Friday night, that God made this great exchange because he wanted to have a relationship with us. When you make a covenant or an agreement with somebody, you exchange something. In marriage, you exchange rings. In other agreements, you maybe exchange money or possessions. In serious situations where you're cutting covenant, you could exchange blood or the mingling of blood called a blood covenant. You exchange things. Well, in the covenant, the new covenant that God made with us, he exchanged something. And we talked about that on Friday night, and that was that Jesus gave his life for our death. He gave his righteousness to us for our sin. He gave his body to be whipped and scourged for our healing. So all the sin and the consequences and the curses that were in our life because of the law, because of sin, because of the brokenness of humanity, Jesus came, he endured the punishment of all of our sin. And now we just not only receive forgiveness for the sins that have separated us from God, we receive a brand new life. We receive his DNA, his spiritual makeup, so we're a brand new person. And this is what sometimes people don't understand about Christianity. It's not just about having a faith. It's not just about having a new way of behavior. It's about having a new heart that God gives you. And that heart gives you a desire to follow him. And so when you are believing in God, he comes and transforms your life because of all that Jesus has done. And this is the great exchange. Now, what happened was he came and lived, Jesus, he suffered, he died, and then in order to enforce that covenant, to make sure it got carried out, he rose from the dead. Or the Spirit rose from the dead, Jesus from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of God carrying out that covenant and enforcing it. And when he rose, he gave his name to us to give us the authority for us to be able to stand and establish his covenant on the earth with other people. The Bible says in Colossians that in Christ, God reconciled the world to himself. In other words, there was a breach. There was a separation. And God reconciled us back to himself through what Jesus has done on the cross. And then it said, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation so we can go to other people and tell them the good news. The good news. To light your fuse. To drive away the blues. Are you writing this down, Delvin? He gave us the message of victory. That sin is no longer has the power to defeat us, but we have the victory over sin. And to walk in that. So whatever area of your life today that you feel like there may be a curse on it, there may be some brokenness, there may be some sickness or depression or anxiety, I'm telling you right now that in Christ, that stuff can be driven out. And you can live with the peace and the joy that the Savior came to give you. I believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most awesome, miraculous act that God ever performed. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's also the most important world-changing event that ever happened. Okay? In fact, the Apostle Paul says that without this event of Jesus being raised from the dead, our faith as a Christian is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. You know, Jesus is the only Savior, the only God, the only person who proclaimed to be God, who ever rose from the dead. None of the other religions have a Savior that rose from the dead. Just Jesus. And when he also rose from the dead, he proved that he was alive through many infallible proofs. And I love that part. We'll talk about that here in a second. But he came back to enforce this great exchange through his resurrection, to establish this covenant relationship that he has with us. All right. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can open them, or the scriptures will be on the screen if you just want to read with me. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which talks about this story. And we'll just go through the first 8 verses. I'm going to just chat a little bit about it here, and then we'll be through. Before we read this, let me say, we live in an information age where we're constantly being bombarded by messages. Okay, are you with me on this? We're constantly being bombarded with messages on our phones, on our television sets, on our computers, on our radios, and all these devices that we have that bring information into our life. We're being fed information almost constantly, every waking minute. I sleep with my phone by my bed. And many times I have a headphone in, listening to something when I'm going to bed, and when I wake up, my phone is there. And then I have my computer, and then we have the television. It's like nonstop information coming to us. So we're being bombarded by so much information. And my challenge for us today is you to step back and realize that not all the information that you're getting through these devices is God's information. And you get to choose what information you let into your ears and in your eyes and in your homes and into your life. And I want to say, though, that the more people can get information that they want you to have, the more influence they can have in your life. But see, God wants to have influence in your life, and you need to say, okay, what God says is the most important information. Are you with me? This is the most important information. So I got to guard my heart with all diligence to the things that may be contrary to what God has to say. See, most of the information that comes to you, the source of that information will probably tell you, well, I'm telling you the truth. But what we read and we find out from Scripture is that there is only one source of truth, and that is from God Himself. And so if there's something contradictory to what God has said, we have to say, I'm not going to believe in that. I'm going to believe in what God has said. I always say that the Word of God is a higher form of reality. You know, you say, well, the Bible says that I'm healed. Well, but I have this sickness, so there's a contradiction here. Well, no, you have a sickness, but the Word of God could be a higher form of reality that if you put your faith in that, then maybe the promise, or not maybe, the promise that God has for your healing or your deliverance or your help in a time of need can come into your life by your faith, and you can grab a hold of that. And then, of course, in the natural world, people call that a miracle because the higher form of reality has changed the reality that you hear, see, feel, touch, and smell with your 5 physical senses. But there's a whole other world out there other than your 5 physical senses. So why I'm saying that is because you're being bombarded with information, and sometimes it's like almost like overloaded to the place where the Word of God takes second place. We do a lot of other things many times before we get the truth of God's Word established in our hearts and our lives, so we're easily deceived, or we're easily led astray because we really don't even know what God said about many situations. And of course, that's what's so important about sitting under the Word as a person in a local church or listening to messages. All of our messages, by the way, that we preach here are recorded and posted on our church website, and you can listen to them. It's no charge. Just listen for hours and hours and hours to Pastor Tom and Lori Wilkie until you want to listen to somebody else, and then go listen to your other favorite preachers who are preaching the Word of God. These are important things to do. is important things to do, because you'll learn and grow and become what God wants you to be by getting the truth of his word. So the scripture we are about to read this morning in 1 Corinthians 15 reveals to us the most important information that the word of God has to tell us. It's called the good news. Here's what Paul says. Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters. Are you a brothers and a sisters in here? Turn to somebody and say, you're a brother or a sister? Yo, bro. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. Hey, sis. I want to remind you of the good news. And that's a good thing to be reminded of. The good news. All right? Sometimes you can go to church and hear bad news. I want to go to church and hear good news. And this is what Paul is preaching here. He's preaching good news. He says that I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it now. And that's what we want to be. We want to be those that welcome the truth of the good news. Now, this good news is so good, it's almost hard to believe. I mean, it is so good, it's almost incomprehensible. It's almost beyond the ability to say, did God really do that? I mean, we try to water it down to make it more acceptable. We try to make it more, you know, understandable. But, you know, this is so off the chart, over the top, that this is almost hard for us to comprehend what God did for us. Okay? So he goes on. I want to remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you. You welcomed it. Verse 2. It is this good news that I preached to you before. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. So he's saying here, I want you to believe this good news that I'm telling you, not just any news about what you think God has done or somebody told you what God has done. That's not the good news. The good news is what I'm telling you here. You get it? And here's the good news. The good news that Paul is talking about is the message of the life that Jesus gave as a substitute for us. The life that Jesus gave as a substitute for us. The forgiveness he gave for the sin that separated us from God. The righteousness he gave in exchange for our unrighteousness. This is the good news. He lived a sinless life. He died a substitutionary, you can understand that word, a substitutionary death. In other words, we were supposed to be dying for our own sins, right? Jesus did it for us, a substitutionary death. So now, if that happened, if he did that, then where does that leave us? That leaves us with the grace of God to receive his life and not have to be punished for our sins. Now, you're not going to hear that in every Christian church, that you don't have to be punished for your sins. But if Jesus was punished for your sins, then you don't have to be. God's wrath was put upon him. God's punishment for the sins of the world was put upon Jesus. We wonder sometimes why, when we see pictures of the suffering and death and the crucifixion of Jesus, why it is so, well, so R-rated, you know? Restricted audiences only, because it's so gruesome. It's almost hard to watch. And doctors and people who understand that process of crucifixion would tell you even Mel Gibson's version of the crucifixion is mild compared to what really happened. And so why does it have to be that way? Because that is the picture of what sin produces. It produces that ugliness, that horrendous, terrific torture and ungodly mutilation of our lives. Plus, it's also what sin looks like to God. And the only way for it to be resolved is for blood to be shed. Because only shed blood, the sacrifice of blood, can cleanse us from sin. And the reason is because of what sin does, is it affects our life. So the only way for it to be resolved is that a life has to be given in return for it. So that's the theological explanation for it, sort of the practical understanding that Jesus did this to rescue us from a life of death, sin, and one more thing, and an eternity without God, which is called hell. An eternity. You know, somebody said, being on this earth, if you don't know God on this earth, this is the closest thing to heaven you'll ever get to. If you do know God and you're going to heaven, this is the closest thing to hell you'll ever know. Because there's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell that are at play here on this planet. And we get to choose which one we participate in. And when we cross the line of faith into the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says that we are redeemed from the kingdom of darkness. And I love that part, because I was a part of the kingdom of darkness for a while. Okay, I was a follower of the king of darkness for a while. And he had me deceived into thinking this was a good time. This will never end. This won't end badly. Until my friends started dying because of the things that we were doing in the kingdom of darkness. And I went, this is ending badly. I don't want to stay here. God, get me out of this. And fortunately, he did. And that's what he'll do for each of us when we cry out to him and we say, God, get me out of this darkness. He will rescue you from the kingdom of darkness, transfer you into the kingdom of light. So this is the good news. This is the message that Paul preached about Jesus' life. Last but not least, Jesus was physically raised from the dead to secure all this redemptive work that he accomplished through his suffering, death, and resurrection. The good news of Jesus' existence reveals to us this, our tragic human condition or sin, the horrific consequences of sin, which is death, and the divine remedy of a godless eternity in hell, which was Jesus' sacrifice, which opened wide the door for us to freely, freely come and have a relationship with God, with him, forever in eternity. Now that's the good news, to be saved from sin, death, and hell. And all that goes along with that, which is everything that you are redeemed from that was part of the curse of sin, the curse of the law, is available to us, and it happens to us as we press in and receive the promises of God by faith. Peter wrote that we have these divine promises, these good and precious promises from God to help us participate in his divine nature instead of the corruption that is in the world. So we get to move into that. It's not a religious thing. It's a supernatural action that God accomplished in Jesus, and he said it. And now the devil can't do anything about it. Sin has lost its power. And the good news is you don't have to be worried about your future. You don't have to be worried about your finances. You don't have to be worried about your health. All you have to do is put your faith in a God that has gone to bat for you already and won the victory for you and receive his promises. So this is what the scriptures said here. Then the next thing Paul says is, I passed on to you what was most important. Verse 3, Rachel, Paul says this, I passed on to you what was most important. Everybody say, most important. Most important. This isn't just one of the things that we need to know. This is the most important thing. And what has also been passed on to me, Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. So here's what we need to know. The scriptures are saying something. It says, just as the scriptures said. The scripture said, this is what's going to happen. So this is not like a secret. This is not like God was hiding this. This is like the scripture's been saying this for thousands and thousands of years before it happened. Jesus is going to come. In Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. It's going to happen. In Isaiah 53, he will carry our transgressions. He will bear our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's been prophesied. The scriptures said, and it happened just as the scriptures promised and prophesied. Okay? There's over 350 prophecies or promises that tell us that in the Old Testament of what Jesus was going to do. I've got the entire list that you can read and download on our church website. Just go to our church website, spiritlifechurch.com. Go to the sermon page, and there's a little thing, a link there, and you can, these are the 351 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled from the Old Testament. That's amazing. It's amazing. You know, if there was just two or three that somebody 1,000 years later had to fulfill, the probability would be so horrendous that nobody would think it would come to pass. But 351 of them? To be the right person in the right place at the right time, doing the right things? Come on. Come on. Come on, go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap. Each prophecy gives a promise of what Jesus came to do and what he was going to do. All right? To receive all of this redemptive, life-giving, sin-busting, Satan-destroying work that Jesus lived and died to accomplish, all we need to do is, watch this, all we need to do is trust what he said. Just trust what he said. The two-year-olds in our daycare center get that. Just trust what Jesus said. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible says, tells me so. I believe that. And that just gives me comfort, not just gives me a crutch, not just gives me a fire escape, but it gives me access to all of God's promises. It gives me access to a life that I can never accomplish on my own, to happiness that I might be searching for in all the wrong places. Money can't give you it. You get enough of it, you realize there's more heartache than there is happiness there. People can't give it to you. You try to follow the certain people, you think that's where happiness is. A spouse can't give it to you. Not the way Jesus can. You can try all these other things to fill this emptiness where you're looking for happiness, you're looking for satisfaction, and there's always this gnawing, something's wrong. And you turn on a radio station, you turn on a TV program, and they're saying something's wrong. You listen to a politician, they're saying something's wrong. Well, you listen to Pastor Tom, he'll tell you something's wrong too, but he's also giving you the answers. Because Jesus brought he was the answer, the way, the truth, and the life. All right. So the first messianic prophecy I told you about in Genesis, all the way to the end, prophesies of Jesus coming. But that's not all. After shedding his blood and dying for our sins, Jesus came back to life. Paul says this in Romans chapter 4, 25. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 4, 25. It says this. He was handed over to die for our sins, or because of our sins. He was handed over. He was handed over to die because of our sins. He took our place. We were supposed to be handed over to die. He took our place. He took our place. All right, but that's not all. Then it says, and he was raised to life again to make us right with God. How did you get right with God? You know, I love this expression in the church. We use expressions in the church, and we kind of understand what it means. You need to get right with God. Well, on my own? No, 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 no. You need to accept what Jesus did to make you right with God. That's how you get right with God. Accept what Jesus did. He made you right with God. Oh, this is so hard for us sometimes to comprehend. Like, this is too good to be true. We can't actually be right with God unless we go through all of this sorrow and grief. And I understand repentance means to turn and turn towards God. If you're going to believe, you have to turn towards God. But somebody isn't more right with God because they repented longer. Repentance takes a very short time. As long as you have not turned around to follow God, you have not truly repented. You're just feeling sorry for yourself in your sins. God is not justifying you because you feel sorry or sorrowful for doing things wrong. This is not the true meaning of repentance. The true meaning of repentance is to turn around and put your faith in what God has done and follow him. And that takes as long as it takes. For me, it was a matter of a few minutes one night, all by myself in my room, and I realized, if I don't make a change tonight, if there's something that doesn't change in my life tonight, I'm going to be like my friends. I'm going to die and go to hell, because that's what was happening to all the friends around me who were drug addicts. And in that moment, I cried out to God, and I said, God, you can have my life, but you've got to change it. That's a good one. That's a good prayer. God answers that one. If you give him your life, he can change it. You can have my life, and you can do with it what you want. You call it a foxhole prayer if you want to. I was in a war. I was definitely in a foxhole, but I was serious. God, you can change my life. You can have my life, but you have to change it. You've got to get rid of the drugs, sex, rock and roll, goofy friends, on and on and on. There was no way out. You may feel like there's no way out for you. You're stuck in the life that's been created for you. Oh, no. No. God will change the life that's on the inside of you, and that life on the inside of you will change everything around you. I went to the same high school the next day. I had the same goofy friends. I had the same locker partner. I did the same things, except God was on the inside of me. And when God's on the inside of you, he comes out. He comes out. So, Wilkie, let's go get high. I went, okay, well, except that I can't get any higher than I am. I'm with the Most High. Wilkie, let's have some pills. Well, I've already had the gospel pill. What language are you talking in? It's a heavenly language. I can't stop. Why would I want to come down? So he says here that God has made us right with God. Being raised from the dead made us right with God. Now, back to Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4, and let me finish this up. It says, Jesus was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, as the scripture said. The scriptures prophesied this. Okay? Most extraordinary miracle. Verse 5. And he was seen by Peter, and then he was seen by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500. It says, verse 6. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. At one time. They weren't all hallucinating. They were not all on LSD. They weren't all having a vision. These are 500 people that saw him at one time. Okay? Contrary to what you thought, that Jesus was just hiding out until he could escape 40 days later. No. He went around talking to all kinds of people, high-fiving people. I'm back. I told you I'd be back, and now I'm back. He was back, commissioning, breathing on his disciples. Tell them, receive the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is what he was telling them. It's right there in Matthew. This is not some secret thing. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles again. And last of all, though I was born at the wrong time, he wasn't born as big a part of all those people that he was talking about. He says, I was born at the wrong time. He says, but I also saw him. And maybe this was even more dramatic and more impactful, that as he was going to kill Christians and murder them and throw them in jail and persecute them, Jesus shows up and appears to him as a bright light and blinds him. And you know the whole story with the Apostle Paul. As one that went from the execution as a Christian terrorist, he's terrorizing the church, literally. God saves him and turns him into the greatest preaching machine that ever lived. It's just like God. I was talking to some of you earlier, and I was saying, you know what? Sometimes the people who are the meanest, when God gets a hold of them, they're just the most radical for God. You know? That's why I say, if somebody's incarcerated, it's good probability God's called them to preach. Because they're living like for the devil, and the devil's trying to kill them, and they just got to turn their life over to God and now watch out. These people get out of prison, and they turn their life over to God, watch out, devil. It's not over till it's over. I don't care what's happened in your life or the life of somebody you know. It's never over till it's over. God can turn anything around for good. So Paul says, this is the good news about the resurrection. The most important thing you can believe about Jesus is that on the third day, he rose from the dead to secure a place for you. He comes back after he's raised from the dead, and he comes to Peter, and he says, Peter, I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. Here I am. Check it out. Thomas, hey, I told you guys this was going to happen, and here I am. Now, what that says to me for us here today is that when God says something about you, and when God says something, he's going to do something for you, you can write it down. You can believe it now or you can believe it later. But when God says it, it's true. It's going to happen. Okay? You can have all kinds of reasons why you may not think it's going to happen. But when God says, just write it down and just take a deep breath and just wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. It's going to happen. Some of your relatives, you're just waiting for God to do something. So my mom just said, you just stay in God's face. Let him take care of him. Let him take care of him. He says, God, make him into what you want him to be. You can have their life. You know, and then when something happens, you go, I didn't know all this was going to happen. But it's okay. God knows what he wants to do. So I want to release our faith today, to put our trust in him and in him alone. Because only Jesus can do for us what we need to have done. Would you stand with me on your feet? And we're just going to pray a prayer together today. Perhaps a prayer of decision, maybe for you. Maybe a prayer that will just give your spiritual life a push. So just close your eyes for a minute. I want the Holy Spirit to really speak to you. And he's no respecter of persons. He'll speak to one, he'll speak to another. If you listen to him, if you listen to his voice, he will say to you, I love you. I want to be a part of your life. I want to be part of more of your life. I want you to yield more of your life to me. So this is a decision that you make right now. You cannot be neutral. You'll say yes or no, but not. This is not my call here. This is something that you are making a decision today to say yes to God. And I want you to sincerely reflect upon what we talked about here today. There's no bad news here. There's no downside to this. Not for you. Maybe for other people, for you to follow God, but not for you. And really not for anybody else. There's only good that can happen to you if you say yes to God. He will give you the cleansing of the guilt, of the condemnation that you carry around. He will give you the freedom to be able to make the right choices in your life. He will give you the power to overcome habits. He will give you the confidence to be able to do things that you've never done before. He will give you the peace to be able to sleep at night without all the medication that you're taking. You'll be able to talk to people and love them when you've been afraid or you've had rejection or bitterness. I'm telling you, there's no end to what Jesus wants to do in your life if you'll just say yes to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus. You paid an awesome price, giving us your only son to die. And then you brought him back to life so that we could be here today to receive all that he's done for us. And so we thank you. I pray for everyone in here right now, if they've never asked you to be forgiven of their sin, that they would just give you their life so that you can do what you want with it. That they would just ask you right now and trust you, a loving God, that you have forgiven them, to be cleansed from those maybe unspeakable things, maybe just carnal things, maybe just stupid things, just to cleanse us, Lord, and make our hearts and our lives right with you. We know you want to do it, and so I thank you right now. We make a choice. Let's just pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, I decide to give you my life, give you more of my life, to give you everything I have, and let you do what you want with it. Come into my heart, save me, fill me, cause me to become more and more like Jesus, and to live for you every day. We love you, God. We thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
That's so powerful. The Lord is a forgiving God. Remember those words. Mary Magdalene, you may be able to relate to her. She was off on a wrong tangent. God came, appeared to her, brought her back. Simon Peter was forgiven of even denying the Lord and walking away from God. And when he was in his boat fishing that day, Jesus appeared to him. And he could see that that was Jesus. And he realized that he couldn't run away from the call. And we cannot run away from the call of God. When God's called us, his hand is upon us, and his hands are in our spirit to mold us and to make us into what we're called to be, and he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll just keep on pestering us until we finally just say, I'm sorry, Lord. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And today, some of you, I heard the Holy Spirit say, some of you need to just say, I'm not going to just give you some of my time, Lord, but I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to dedicate. What are the things that God has called you to do? Maybe this is the year where God's going to show you that. Discover your gifts, your talents. The anointing that's upon your life is for a purpose. And there's power when you begin to step out and do what God has called you to do. There's power in that. And the enemy cannot touch you. And so today, we're going to pray a prayer of faith and believe this is the year of victory, that Satan has no dominion over you, that God is going to resurrect you into new life and service in the kingdom of God. And so Pastor Tom and I, we want to join with you in faith today and say, Lord, Lord, show every single person today. Show every person in this place what they were redeemed from sin to do. We're not just redeemed from sin to sit on our blessed assurance. We're redeemed from sin because we're called to be a light in this world, to show forth those good works that he's called us out of darkness into good works to serve the living God. And so, hallelujah, there's a purpose for you. Every single thing God has created on this earth is for a purpose. Even a piece of toilet paper has a purpose. So don't ever recognize the fact that God, you know, when you walk around and the devil beats you up and you know, you're feeling so depressed. I'm no good. I'm a nobody. Who am I? Remember that God has a purpose for you. He's called you for a beautiful calling on this earth. He's redeemed you. And when the enemy comes and tells you that you're no good, that you're a nobody, you just sock him right back and say, wait a second, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And God has redeemed me and I'm called. Those works that I was foreordained to walk in, I will walk in those. God has works that you were foreordained to walk in, every one of you. Works that only God can fulfill, but he needs you. Yesterday, as I was calling people on the phone, I recognized some people just ignore the call of God. They just walk away. And God, even though they're called, even though God's reaching out, you ignore through unbelief the calling of God. And none of you has ignored that call today. You're here because you hear the call of God. You walk in the call of God. You've got a purpose. And so, Pastor Tom and I want to pray for you right now. Would you extend your hands out to God? Because this is the year that God is giving you a purpose to serve him in the kingdom of God. And the rays of glory shall fly out of your life. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can use you to be a witness, a bold witness, and it's never too late. Remember, you can be 95 years old, 95, 99 years old, on your deathbed and still fulfill your purpose because you were called to be God's pleasure. And so today, Father, I thank you that the redeemed of the Lord will say so, that therefore the redeemed of the Lord will cry out and say, God, show me my purpose. Show me what I was created before the foundation of the world to do. The works that you foreordained me to walk in, God, help me to walk in those. In the name of Jesus, I just praise you and thank you, Father, that every person right now is discovering this year what their divine purpose is. And we'll walk in that calling in Jesus' name. We thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for revealing that purpose to every person today. Every single person in the name of Jesus. You were called. Some of you were called to sing. Some of you were called to testify. Some of you are called to worship and dance. And some of you are called to call people on the phone and tell them about God's love. Whatever. Everybody has gifts and talents. And this year you will discover those, says the Lord. And I praise God for that. Amen. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. You'll discover what you were born to do. Isn't that awesome? You're born to be a light. And so we praise God that you're here today. And all of you are just chosen by God, handpicked for a purpose and a great calling. So let's just go forth from this place today and be that light, maybe to family who don't know God, right? Maybe you're going to relatives who don't know God. Oh, you know, you can just say to them, I am His, I am the Lord's, because He has redeemed me. It's a simple thing like that. Just tell them who you are, okay? You're redeemed by the Lord, amen? Thank you so much for coming, and I hope the resurrection of the Lord today. Sister Lorna back there is smiling, she knows. Lorna's getting closer and closer every day to being with the Lord, you know? When you get to be how old, Lorna? When you get to be 80, you know, you think a little bit seriously about the things of God. And I walked out here today, and I was so seriously intent upon the purposes of God. I said, Lord, there's all these people here worshiping you, and every one of them today needs to know how valuable they are. Every one of you needs to know your purpose and your calling in the kingdom of God. And you need to just go out and do it. Just go out and do it. And be the best that you can be with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So go for it. Be a witness and be a light. We join you on Wednesday again, okay? Have a really good day.